Yeah. Yeah.
Guess who came back with a large fucking fist to eat the Brooklyn blast furnace? I brought your ugly bitch with me. Your shit is sus. Ain't nobody trying to hear you talk. When Jimmy's on the mic, they take your whack shit and turn it off. It's real life, not them stories that you punks say. He made it out alive, and he's relatively unscathed. So subscribe to the podcast and share the post and tell your stupid friends to do the same. You heard it here from Coast.
That's it. We're up.
Hi.
This is going to be fun. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know that this is the third time that you're technically on the Brooklyn Blast Furnace?
Wow.
You did
no,
it.
I did not, but oh, now I know.
Yeah, you did one solo a long time ago when I first started it, and then you were on also with Drew.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. Actually, everybody, if you don't already know, the one and only, the legendary, my friend, Michael Alago. Yeah, the first time we did it, we were in Jeff, the owner of Lucky 13's kitchen.
Oh, that's right. And so who else was there?
John LaMacchia, the guitarist for Candiria.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, that was fun. I remember it being fun.
Yeah, that was when there was three hosts. That was when the three of us were doing it all together.
And tonight is my in 2024, this is my first podcast conversation with you.
And I'm happy that you accepted my invite, buddy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Why not? Sure.
So we've went on an adventure. We hang out and we have to plan another one. We are going to see Voivod, aren't we?
Yes, I haven't put in for the tickets and the passes, but yes, I'll do that soon.
Okay, Voivod and Prong at the Sherman Theater.
Where's the Sherman again?
Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania.
Oh, Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. Oh,
yeah.
So that'll be our second adventure, and 100%. We'll get there early, and we'll go to the record store in Stroudsburg. Oh, yeah, it'll be so much fun.
Main Street Jukebox,
that's right.
Yes, sir. We'll go there. I've been to the Sherman Theater once before a few years ago. I saw this weird band called Avatar there. I don't know.
Never heard of them.
Yeah. You're not really missing anything too much.
I'm sure.
So how have you been, my friend?
Oh, I've been pretty good. Let's see. The New Year has started off a little slow, but that's okay. You know, trying to close a book deal is almost harder than closing a record deal. So I'm still in like this holding pattern with a book company about my photo book. So that has me a little bit, not on edge, but you know, at 64, I still have to learn how to have patience. Because if I don't have patience, I could ruin the thing that I'm waiting for.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I'm in a 12-step program. So, you know, in this 12-step program, they say restraint of pen and tongue. You know what I mean? It's like, do I need to say it? Do I need to say it now? Maybe not.
You want to.
I want to, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I have to bite my tongue. So
yes.
I don't know. It's okay. The beginning of the year, you know, it's very strange that I feel life is a little different after the pandemic because
absolutely
we were all sitting around at home for what, 2 or 3 years, you know? And so, of course, I watched a lot of television and everything becomes a blur after a while. And some days, even now, I don't remember what damn day it is, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's all good. You know, we're here. We're healthy. We know how to have a good time still.
And, absolutely.
And here we are.
Yeah. Yeah, you said you're 64. I'm not saying this, but you do not look 64. You do not.
Good.
You don't. You have very good genes, my friend. And,
yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I relate to that too. I mean, I don't, I'm not actively, I don't, I'm not technically in a 12-step program, but I'm sober over 9 years, 14 over the last 17, actually, but you know, whatever, a little blip
Oh,
in
that's
the middle,
great.
but yeah, I'm 48, but that's one thing that I try to work on as well, man. It's my patience because I have a big mouth and I do have a temper. What
Yeah.
it takes me a while to snap out. It does. Like it takes me a while. Some people that I used to, you know, that used to be in my life knew those exact things to do in order to make me snap like that. But that was like that's not the average person. Like I'll get pissed off a little bit at the person who's walking way too slow in front of me in the train station. I go nuts. I'm just like in my head, I'm like, just move. But I don't really say anything and then it goes by and then it's like whatever. But yeah, that's something I always try to work on too. And you know, you've lived a life, my friend. You know
It's
what I
tough.
mean? You know, you yeah, and you've definitely lived a life and I have too. We're different things, but definitely on a road to I was on a crash course for a very long time.
Oh,
And
well, I was on that same crash course. I'm surprised we didn't hook up.
I know, crazy.
Yes. Oh, boy.
So thinking about the guy that I used to be and the guy now, like I deserve to pat myself on the back, but I never really do that. But whatever.
Well, you should pat yourself on the back, or I'll pat you on the back myself,
On the
because
way to the Sherman Theater.
all the way to the Sherman Theater, and because one day at a time for myself, that I stay clean and sober, and I wake up in my own bed, and I wake up focused and clear, and I get stuff done, and I'm not a no-show anymore when I was in the throes of alcohol and drugs. And now I have 16 years, and that 16 years going backwards feels, it's not really a lifetime ago, but it almost feels like a lifetime ago because I've had so many sober one day at a time. And all that one day at a time, I still have so much energy, and I want to get stuff done, and I do get stuff done. So for me, it's a blessing that I don't do any of that stuff anymore. And it was killing my health. So I just thought, you know what? That's not where my head is at anymore. Cut it out. Cut it out.
Cut out the shit, man.
And I did. And I just never looked back, in regards to staying clean and sober. So.
Yeah, I don't miss those days at all. Like I'm not gonna sit here and say I didn't have a lot of fun because I'm sure I had some of the greatest times
Oh my.
ever when I was all fucked up. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But it was all fun and fun and just till it wasn't anymore. And then you're still
Right.
clinging.
I think I remember reading a t-shirt. It might be from Tad in Seattle. And the back of the t-shirt said, "It's all fun and games until somebody gets an eye blown out."
And that's absolutely, man.
Yeah. So, exactly. It is all fun and games until it really just stops. And it begins to just hurt. And it's a lot of BS. And like I said, I was a no-show a lot for family events and just things I really needed to show up for. And I just thought, you know what? I want to live. I know a lot of people have died from drugs and alcohol.
Same.
And I have a lot of stuff to still do. And since I stopped 16 years ago, it's like Drew Stone made a documentary about me. I don't
Who the
think
fuck is that guy? The Fabulous Journey of Michael Alago. If no,
correct.
if you're if you if anyone is listening or watching this and you don't understand or really know who Michael Alago is, and I said it before with his intro that he's a legendary guy. You've had, and I'm not just saying this because you're my friend. I'm just saying it's because it's the truth. But you have done incredible things that some people might not even realize that you were behind. You know what I mean? You know, with the record labels and stuff like that, and the bands that you create. We'll get to that. I know you've spoken about that a million times, and but I'm sure it doesn't get old. But yes, Drew Stone made an amazing documentary about you, and I was fortunate enough to be at Theater 80 at the premiere.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yes, I was
We have
absolutely.
that great photograph.
Yes.
I know, in keeping with talking about who the fuck is that guy, our friend Michael Alex is the producer of that film. And, I think if I was still drinking and drugging and falling down on the street, he would have never made that film.
No.
It would have just been ugly. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? But I
Yeah.
can go back and talk about the ugliness because of where I am present day, you know?
100%. Yeah.
And because I am sober, once I started lining up the artists that were going to be in the film, everybody said yes. And I think they said yes because they were proud of my sobriety. And I don't say that like with any kind of ego, because
Right.
there's also healthy ego. I was functioning and I was fabulous
Yeah, it's
and
true.
sober.
Yeah,
Very
and
important.
sober. That's
Very
a very
important.
good, it's a very good point, because there's an ego, there's like an egotistical type jerk off kind of an ego, and then there's a healthy ego. You know,
Correct.
there's a quote, I don't remember who said it. I'm not even sure if I ever remember who said it, but it was oh, I'm gonna fucking butcher this right now. But he says, I have to put myself up on a pedestal in order for me not to go back to where I was, like in your mindset. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Okay, sure.
sometimes you have to keep yourself and maybe have a little bit of an ego, but you don't have to be cocky with an ego.
No, that's why we
Right.
talk about a healthy ego.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah. So it's always, I do that too, and I take it to a different level, and I joke around a lot and say, all this shit and whatever, but it's true, man. It's like I laugh at myself all the time, or else what's the alternative? Be miserable, be mad at the world. I
One
was mad at the world for
definitely.
35 years.
Right. One definitely has to laugh at themselves. And we laugh at ourselves because A, we're still here.
Yeah.
And we're just doing the right thing,
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And some of the things that we laugh about, people, if they don't understand the drinking and drugging aspect of one's life, they're mortified at some of these stories.
Oh,
Oh
yeah.
my God. When I was like in a brownout, not exactly a blackout, I remember certain stuff, I would think, oh my God. But I would laugh
Yeah.
now because I'm allowed to laugh 16, 18, 20 years bef later
Yeah.
from when I did all that stuff, excuse me, because I'm alive and well,
Yeah. Same here.
sober. Once
Same.
again, okay.
Yeah, it's true though. Like, this is a running theme because we're both sober and we've both done crazy shit in the
Oh.
past. And I laugh at it. And some people think, I think maybe some people think that I kind of romanticize it. I don't. I laugh at myself and the stupid shit that I used to do because I have a warped sense of humor as well. So it's like, yeah, man, like it is very true how people will be mortified about some of the stuff that we find
Oh, totally.
hilarious.
Absolutely.
You know? Hey, we're twisted people, but you know what? We're fucking fun, man.
Correct.
It's fun. Amongst our tribe, we're fun people. Yes. So yeah, so the film is incredible. And then I like how the film is called Who the Fuck Is That Guy? And then you wrote a book, a memoir, and it's called I Am Michael Alago.
I am Michael Alago, breathing music, signing Metallica,
Being
beating death.
death.
True,
Yeah.
true. Yeah.
Yes.
I just love how in my life, I don't know how to, I hope this is not like a double negative. I don't know how to not be busy. I'm busy all the time.
So am I.
You know,
Yep.
even if it's just something as simple as taking a walk and going to an art gallery and seeing great art, I always want to be doing stuff. So,
Yep.
after I stopped officially working in the music business after 25 years, in around 2005, I started taking photographs and I got three books published. And then Drew in 2017 made the film. Then in 2020, the memoir came out. So I'm just constantly moving forward, and I'm glad that all that can happen, the moving
Yeah.
forward part and getting, I don't even know what the next step is going to be. I don't even know if it's going to be this photo book or not, but you know what? I'm fine with all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. It's like also it's like the same here. I'm always busy. Yes, I do work a lot, but in my spare, even if I'm exhausted, I always find something to do. It's like, we went to Princeton University and had an awesome day together.
On a
And
Sunday morning. Oh, wait, we went to, this was auspicious because we left New York at 8:30 in the morning on New Year's Eve.
that's right.
And our first stop in Princeton, New Jersey was Albert Einstein's home.
Right? Very
That
cool.
was very cool.
Yeah, and I
Yeah.
had to st I stole like a little piece of concrete.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, you have a piece of it in your house
I
too.
do, I do, I do.
Yeah, I collect rocks and gravel and shit from places. Very
That's
strange.
fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Interesting. Absolutely. A wee bit of history.
Yeah.
But you know what's so funny? I was going to say to you the other day when we were, if I called you or texted you, that I think we have to go back to Princeton again. And I'll tell you why.
On a nicer day, we were freezing.
We were freezing because for some reason, I'm seeing a lot of stuff either in my news feed or people asking me about Princeton. Just that, seeing, oh, Princeton this and Princeton that. And it's like it keeps coming up after we've already been there and
Yeah.
come home. So maybe that's another trip to Princeton. Maybe there's other stuff there that we didn't discover yet.
Yeah, no, there's always something to discover. And that's what I was saying. Like, I take my time and I map out places and I do this photo stuff where I superimpose the pictures and I keep busy doing that. And a lot of people, it's a way to get away from the neighborhood. It's something that I enjoy. When I come home, it's almost like an art form, how I mesh everything together. You know what I mean? It's busy. Myself, I'm 603 pages into my book as well. It's going to be edited down like crazy, but I still have 7 more years to write about, and I'm over 600 pages in, which is insane. I don't even know how I find the time to do this stuff, but I do
I don't
because I
either,
want to do it and I
and that's a
can.
lot of pages.
Oh, it's a lot. It's a lot. I'm
You know
sure
what?
it's going to get chopped up a lot, but.
It will, you and your editor will really know how to finesse it so that
Yes.
you really do take the audience on a journey that has a beginning, a middle, and an end. An
Yeah.
end only to like where you're leaving the viewer, the listener, the audience out, where you're just leaving them, but the life still goes on.
Sure, 100%.
You know what? It really is. You just can't tell everything. Because
No.
it just doesn't work well.
No. And I also have to be careful of what I say and what I tell. Certain people are still alive that might not like what I write about them. And I also have to
Yes.
also remember that I have a 14-year-old daughter. So I don't have to get into crazy, dirty details about certain things. I could just broad stroke a few things where
Right.
the reader gets the gist of it, you know? I don't have to get into the real
Can't
nitty grit.
wait.
Yeah. Signed autograph copy right back at you, man. Just like you
Wow.
gave me.
Can't
Right
wait.
for you.
Sure.
Yes. So yeah, I find myself being busy all the time doing stuff. I do the podcast, I make the flyers. I'm always doing something, you know, and I feel like I need to as well.
And I love that part of the intention of Princeton was that you wanted to go there because you knew that the movie A Beautiful Mind, Russell Crowe, was
Still.
filmed there.
Yes.
So it was a double wonderful that you knew that, you reminded me of that, and that your photographs were going to be the superimposed
Yep.
photographs were going to be of Princeton and A Beautiful Mind.
Yes. And then how
Yeah,
about that
great.
awesome couple that we bumped into
Oh
that
my
showed us
God.
around? Yeah.
Yes,
It was
very
the way
nice.
that happened was so funny. We were walking up those steps, and I was looking for steps where there's a scene in the movie where the little girl is putting her arms out, and the woman with the couple was talking to her husband, saying something about having her arms out. And I was like, are you talking about A Beautiful Mind? And she was like, no. She was talking about something completely different, but we happened to be on the same steps. And
Right.
it was just, and then they were just like, oh, we'll show you. And they gave us like a tour.
A bit of a tour, but
Yeah.
then didn't she also say that if we wanted to know where what is his name? John Nash.
Yes.
his she pointed up to a building where on the second floor right there his office was.
Yes. Yeah. And that was something that I didn't even have, like, in
What an
my phone.
extraordinary film.
Unbelievable. Unreal. I had never seen it until about 5 days before we went to Princeton.
Oh, I saw it when it came out many moons ago, and then because you said that, I immediately watched it, and I was in awe of the direction, the
Yeah.
script, the acting was superb, and
Yeah.
it just parts of it were just so beautiful. And
Yeah.
who directed that again?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Oh, really? Oh, sugar.
Well, I could look though. But yeah, incredible, incredible movie. Yeah, I could look because I have my phone here.
That
But
wasn't like one of the, like Ridley Scott or somebody like
I
that.
don't think so.
Look it up right this minute.
I'm looking it up right now. Don't tell me what to do.
Sure.
Oh, Ron Howard.
Oh my gosh,
Yeah.
Ron Howard.
Yeah.
Oh, how wonderful.
Opie
He's great.
Taylor. Yeah.
Opie. Yes, of
Richard
course.
Cunningham. Yeah. So incredible, incredible movie. And yeah, that was a lot of fun that day trying to find like here's the picture and all right, but and then we're looking at there's that window and there's a window you see, but the tree grew too much, but this is exactly where it is. Like I love doing that kind of stuff, exploring and looking at a little intricate like the architecture on something, how it's still the same from so long ago or it's different. But what a beautiful campus Princeton is.
Well, the I was going to say the campus.
Incredible.
You're in awe.
And you bumped into an old friend in the cathedral. I'm like, Michael knows everyone. He's like the mayor over here.
We went into the not Presbyterian church. What kind of church was it again?
I'm not sure, but it was like the Princeton Cathedral or something.
Yes, okay.
The
And
main
then
biggest church on campus.
I know a dear friend who will remain nameless, who I knew from 12-step program that he is now going to become a priest.
Yeah.
Was wonderful. How
I
was
was
your
like,
life? I mean, that's a shift in one's life.
yeah.
Crackhead, priest.
Yes. I was hoping you were going
And
to say that.
it's a beautiful thing
Yeah.
how that could
Crackhead,
happen.
priest.
Yes. Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. Good times. And then after that, we went and we found the guy in the cemetery was a jerk off, remember? And we found the Menendez parents.
Oh, that plot.
Yeah.
Oh, it's I don't even know if we want to talk about the Menendez family.
That's a whole other podcast.
Okay, all I will say is that I have been totally fascinated by the Menendez brothers.
Yeah.
I will not put my public opinion in this conversation unless we keep talking about them and it all just spills out. But at some point I was working for Geffen Records on the and I was on the West Coast and I knew that that home was up for sale. So I did a little fibbing and I told a realtor that I was thinking of moving to California and I'd love to see the home. And I got to see the home.
Oh my God.
And I like walked through and I thought, oh, I guess that's where the sofa was and that's where the parents got killed.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I love all that true crime stuff,
Me too. Me too. I love that. I eat that shit up all the time. I love it. Quick, good recommendation if you haven't watched on Netflix. Did you watch American Nightmare yet? It's on Netflix. It's called American Nightmare. Just three episodes in, done, out. Crazy.
Wait. American Nightmare. What is it about?
It's about a woman who gets kidnapped out of her bed, and they think that the boyfriend is involved, and the
Oh,
cops.
wait a minute. I started it. This was three episodes. Okay. So it
Finish
has.
it, and then we'll talk about it, because I'm not going to spoil nothing.
Okay, fine. Yeah, American Nightmare. No, I'm
Yes.
watching something called The Act.
What is
It's
it on?
on Hulu.
Okay.
It's a true crime story about a mother and daughter, and there's this thing called Munchausen syndrome.
Yes.
And Munchausen syndrome, by proxy, is the mother giving that to the daughter, saying, "You're sick, you need to
Yes.
be in a wheelchair, ba 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 ba." And I just watched all, I think it was 8 episodes. Now, there's a 2020 bit about, it's a true story, and about the woman who, well, I'm just gonna say it. She wound up
Okay.
murdered, her and the boyfriend wound up murdering the mother.
Okay.
And she got put in jail for a long time. And present day 2020 is interviewing this woman
Okay.
about her life as a child.
That rings a bell. I think I know what you're talking about, but I did not watch it and I have to watch it.
Yeah, it's very good. Patricia Arquette is the star of it, and she's always very good. And
Yeah.
she's the mom, and it's on Hulu, The Act. Yeah.
Duly noted, and I will definitely
Well, you
watch
know, also,
it.
we have to go backtrack. Speaking of true crime, did you watch the Dahmer 10 episodes on Netflix?
Absolutely.
Well, you know, because that was one of the biggest grossing series for Netflix, you know, Ryan Dahmer, Ryan Murphy is like a sweetheart there, from what I'm reading.
Yeah.
And his next 10-part series is on the Menendez
Oh,
brothers.
you're excited about that.
It's such a horrible story. And but all I will say is I do believe Jose Menendez was a monster.
Okay.
That's it.
That's all you need to say.
I said it. I said it. I said
You're
it.
allowed to say whatever you want, my friend. Yeah. So now,
Anyway.
if people don't know, you are the man that signed Metallica to Elektra Records, of course. But there is something that I would like to talk to you about. I want to pick your brain about because the first, remember when we went to, what was the place where we had that awesome pasta?
Frank's on Second Avenue in the East Village.
One of the greatest bowls of pasta I've ever eaten in my life. It was
Oh,
so
yeah, it was
simple, but it
great.
was incredible.
Sure. It's been there
Then
forever.
we got to go back because it was incredible.
Okay.
So we were walking, and then I had showed you that me and my daughter go there all the time, and it was the house where Leonardo DiCaprio lived in the Basketball Diaries, and we took a picture at those steps.
Oh, yes.
But now, as we were going, we were walking towards like Union Square or something like that to jump on the train and go our separate ways. You had mentioned to me, I don't know what brought it up, but you were in the middle of doing, you were working for Geffen and you were in the studio with White Zombie making Los Exorcistas Devil Music Volume 1. And you touched on the fact that you went to somebody's house to get the rights to use samples from Faster Pussycat Kill Kill. I want to know because the only, I'm sorry to cut you off. The reason why I want to talk maybe about that album and the ins and the outs maybe is because it's in my top 10 favorite records ever.
Oh, wonderful.
And it brings back that when that album came out and those couple of years, it's the most incredible memories. I was on acid and smoking angel dust in the limelight.
Oh no, stop.
Oh
Angel,
yeah, no,
that's not
stop. You were probably
wrong.
in the limelight when White Zombie was playing and I was there too.
Yes.
Yes.
Backtrack for 1 minute. Yes, I did sign Metallica to Elektra Records, summer of 1984, when they played this historic show with Anthrax and Raven. In the end, each band got signed. Raven got signed to Atlantic, Anthrax got signed to Island Records, and Metallica got signed to Elektra. I believe it was August 4th, and it was Hetfield's birthday. So yes, I have a very long history with the men in Metallica. But if you want to fast forward, I wind up leaving Elektra.
If you want to talk about Metallica, the floor is yours. Spill.
No, we were moving on. That's not
Okay,
right
fair
now.
enough.
But yeah, sure. I leave Elektra at some point, and I go to Geffen Records, and I sign White Zombie. You know, they were living in the East Village. They were making a lot of racket, a big noise. They had made some independent records with Caroline Records.
Several.
Pardon? Several,
Several
yes. Yeah, I
records.
think maybe three or four.
Yeah.
And I just thought, Daniel Ray, my friend Daniel Ray, who was in Masters of Reality, he wrote Pet Sematary for the Ramones. He worked with the Ramones, produced the Ramones. He was in a band called Shrapnel back in the day. And he's what was my friend for been my friend for about 40 years. So, what was that noise? Anyway, so he says to me, you know, there's a couple of bands that I'm shopping: Circus of Power, Raging
Wow.
Slab, and a band called White Zombie. Nobody wanted White Zombie at all, but he got Raging Slab and Circus signed to RCA Records. So they were like the little band that nobody wanted. So I go see them at some little, I don't even know if you call it a bar. It's in the East Village. There's a popular restaurant on Lafayette called Indochine. It's been there forever, but under Indochine was this little black box that people performed in. So there I go to this little black box and go to the back of the room, and the stage is this high from the ground, and there they are, like I always say, making a mighty racket, and the hair, the dreadlocks are flying, and it's noise, and I still haven't heard a song, but I'm in love with these people already. There
Yeah.
was something about the presence, the charisma, that I thought, oh, these people are adorable. So
Yeah.
they come off the stage and we start talking, and I knew that they knew also that because I worked for a major label, that they really had to like pick up the songwriting, their songwriting.
Yeah.
And they started writing tunes. They were becoming commercial songs, and we started making this record with producer Andy Wallace, and they were stuck on a song called Black Sunshine. So at some point they said, "We don't know what we're gonna do." I said, "Well, there should be like a little poetry in there," and poetry at that point was a little, it was the wrong word. But I guess I meant to say to them, because they looked at me a little odd, there should be spoken word here. That'll
Gotcha.
be something very different. It'll help with the arrangement and the bridge. And the only person who could do that is Iggy Pop. Well, they loved Iggy. I loved Iggy. And, you know, he has that speaking voice that is just amazing. So we had him do come in, cut the song with them, and Black Sunshine became this great, great tune off Les Exorcistes Devil Music Volume 1. Again, the rest is history. There's so much to say about that album. Like a,
It's
for instance, Rob wanted to use a line from, sorry, my brain spaced out.
okay.
Wanted to use this line from one of Russ Meyer's movie, Faster Pussycat Kill Kill. And, you
Great.
know, if anybody knows about Russ Meyer, I guess you could say his movies were like sexploitation films, and it was all women with big boobs, and the women were always smart, and the men were always dumbbells.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, because we would have to get the line approved. So I find Russ Meyer's phone number and I call, and I said, hi, this is Michael Alago. I work for Geffen Records, and I'd like to speak to Mr. Meyer. He said, this is he. What do you want? I'm sitting here with a double hernia and I don't want to be bothered.
What an introduction.
A total introduction, but it gets better. So I'm like, I'm a big fan. And he said, well, you young man, back up. Yes. He said, did you say you work for Geffen? I said, I do. He goes, you mean David Geffen? I said, yes, sir. He goes, okay, before we move forward, could you ask Mr. Geffen if he could give me $475,000 so I could finish my movie Up the Valley of the Ultra Vixens? And I'm sitting there thinking, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into? And I said, I have to tell you, sir, off the top of my head, stylistically, I don't think that's a movie that Mr. Geffen would want to be involved with. You know, it's not his style at all.
Right.
But I'm a huge fan. I said, I have to tell you, one of my favorite movies of yours is Lorna. And then I start listing, you know, the immortal Mr. Tease and all this stuff. He said, well, you're clearly a fan. What can I do for you?
Nice.
Oh, my God. We broke down the barrier here.
Finally.
So I said, we have this line, Get Up and Kill, and it's for a new band that doesn't have a record out on a major label yet called White Zombie. He said, well, what are you going to pay me? I said, can I give you $1,000? He said, sure. When are you sending it? I said, I will go to business affairs, and in the next few days, I will FedEx it to you. And he said, good, the sooner the better. And
nice.
I thought, oh, boy, I got through this.
Uh-huh.
Initial conversation with him. Well, don't you know that, again, he found some humor, as did I, in our conversation, that he started sending me all his brochures from his movies.
Nice.
These big, colorful brochures. And I wrote him back a fan letter. And he didn't know what to say to me, I think, in the fan letter, because he crossed out almost every word in my letter, except for big breast, he'll circle that, or fandom, he'll circle that. And he mailed the letter back to me. So I just thought, oh, this is really so crazy. So I don't know. We had more conversations. And then at some point, he sent me every one of his VHSs of his movies.
Wow.
And he only signed one, Faster Pussycat Kill Kill. And then again, we didn't do any more business together. We just both took a liking to each other. And at some point I called him up and I said, okay, I have to ask a favor. And I don't know if it's really going to be a favor, but I see that your 3-volume set, A Clean Breast, is totally sold out. He says, I'll get you one, but I can't give it to you for free. It's gonna cost me $100 just to mail it to you. I said, I'll mail you the $100. So I mailed him the $100 and he sent me A Clean Breast. It's 3 huge volumes of breast. Fantastic. And so we wrote back and forth for a long period of time. And then he got ill and we both just kind of moved on. But it was just this little brief bit of rock and roll movie history. Just to lay on the audience here tonight. Although I mentioned that little segment of my life at Geffen with White Zombie many times, but it always comes out a little different, or I always remember something that I didn't say before.
Yeah.
But I'm such a huge fan of Russ Meyer. I just thought he was, I think he's brilliant. So
awesome.
Well, but also, I can tell you one last
thing. Go right ahead, please.
So we make this record. It comes out. And I'm, on our marketing meetings. I think it was every Wednesday we had a marketing meeting. And it was my turn to talk about the record I just made. And so I present the album to everybody at the company. And I forgot, what's the first single again? Oh, it's
Thunderkiss.
Thunderkiss, 1965.
Yeah.
So that gets good to the radio and things are moving along. And I think it's, because I'm bragging, it's a million seller, bah, bah, bah. And it stopped selling at 180,000 units. And so in the next marketing meeting, everyone's looking at me like, okay, Lago, what are you doing now?
Yeah.
Now, I wasn't part of the marketing team. I made the records there. But I don't know if it's not karma, but you wouldn't believe it that I think the next day or so, Beavis and Butthead decided that White Zombie were their new favorite band. Oof. Never mind that Beavis and Butthead were huge at the time on MTV, and they start playing that song like it's going out of style.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you that them playing that song catapulted that album to a million seller.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Two stupid cartoon characters. And I used to smoke pot and sit there and watch them all the goddamn time.
Fire, fire.
Yeah, fire,
fire,
fire, of course.
Fabulous.
It was amazing back then. They were huge.
So there's a good white zombie story for all the fans out there and for us
Yeah, of course, man.
because you
After a
know
while,
we're
I don't even. After a while, it's like I don't even feel like we're recording. After a while, I just talk.
but you know we're the beauty of even just this interview conversation is that even after all these years, we are still big fans of the artists that we love,
Yes.
you
Yeah.
know.
There's
And
something
even,
about it.
you know, even my listening had to change a little bit when I worked for a corporation because I had to remember there, I had to sell records for these people, or else my ass would be on the sidewalk of Time Warner, never mind in the building anymore.
Yeah.
And you know, thank God I have two good ears, and I really did pick the right artists to become involved with.
Sure.
So,
I mean,
I helped make my mark in rock and roll history.
dude, there's a little band called Metallica that, like, I
Well,
mean,
that changed the whole
this.
spectrum of rock and roll and heavy metal, and
Yeah.
they were doing something that nobody else was doing. They weren't playing traditional heavy metal.
No.
They loved British heavy metal, so they incorporated back then and still call thrash.
Yeah.
They incorporated thrash and speed and traditional hard rock and heavy metal. And you know, you mix this thing up in a blender, and you know, you get this band called Metallica. And you know, to this day, 40 years later,
Crazy.
they are bigger and better than ever because they always stuck to their guns. They
Yeah.
did what they wanted to do. They didn't look to please anybody. They would just always hope, let's hope the audience just comes along with us.
That's
And
right.
they've done that because
Yeah.
40 years later, you know, they just sold out here in New Jersey, MetLife.
Yeah.
That's like, I don't know, 80,000 people. And
Yeah,
not
you couldn't get near that. You couldn't even get a
no,
ticket.
yeah, it's totally fantastic. I mean, I just love them so much, and I think James is one of the best front men ever.
Yeah. Well,
Totally.
I'm going to remind you, and it's
Yes.
baffling to me to even say it, that I've never seen them live. And I don't know why.
People, he didn't really say that.
I did. I heard them live
Oh
when I
my.
was at Woodstock 99, but I was
Ugh.
really, 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 really
Oi.
fucked up on acid and I was stuck in my tent.
Wait, you and that acid,
But I heard Creeping Death from a distance.
all
And I was
right,
like, okay, oh
it's
yeah,
not
that's
the
creeping,
same
playing
thing.
Creeping Death.
It's not the same thing, and I still say, how have you not been to a live Metallica show?
I
Because
don't know, man.
okay, we can't talk about that part of your life anymore. I will be happy to take you to Metallica when they are in the tri-state area next.
All right.
Moving on.
I'm gonna fucking call you on that, and I will absolutely take that offer up.
Well, you better.
I goddamn right I will. Because
Okay,
that
good.
means if I go with you, that means I get to like to go mingle with the fucking famous people.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. Well, you're not
But then
gonna
you
throw me in
can't,
the middle of.
then you won't have a story anymore. Like, I've never seen Metallica.
No, but the one and only time I see Metallica, I'm over there. It's good.
Okay.
Or you can just throw me into general admission too, and you can go gallivant and do whatever you gotta do.
Gallivanting, my late mom's favorite word.
Oh, really?
I'm gonna go out gallivanting, Michael Anthony. But it's so funny that you mentioned, well, you didn't mention it, but gallivanting comes up. And I just found my mom's little prayer card
Yeah.
because in 2 days, February 2nd, unbelievable, already it's going to be 7 years that she passed. And you know, when
Wow.
you lose a parent, as we know, like some days it really does feel like yesterday.
Yeah.
And I wish that when I got back from, you know, after my morning meetings and whatever, that I used to give her a bell at 10:30 in the morning. And you know, sometimes I wanted to reach for the phone, and I was pissed off that I just couldn't call my mother anymore.
Yeah.
And then other times, like right now, in general, right now, it does feel like 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, it just in your heart, it just kind of moves to a different place.
It
It's
does.
not up front and center anymore, which doesn't mean the love or anything is any less. It's just, life happens and so many things happen, but there are little things like gallivanting that just triggered off that I wanted to say, my mom's anniversary, death anniversary, whatever, is coming up on February 2nd. So.
And my mother passed as well. It's crazy that in August it'll be 13 years, which is crazy, 2011. But my mother's, she would have been 74 on February 3rd.
Oh, wow.
My
Okay.
mother's birthday is February 3rd.
And mine, May 23rd. And she passed, she was 94. So Blanche, who was 4'10",
Nice.
was a firecracker and she was extraordinary. And she had an identical sister, my Aunt Ida, my Titi Ida. They were both wild. Well, really, it's my Aunt Ida who was really the wild one. They were something, both of them. And so they really do live in my heart, big time. And my Aunt Ida, believe it or not, has even visited me here in this apartment. Now, I know that because Ida believed in Santeria. You know, and she used to go into these trances when I was a little boy, and she would smoke cigars and just
That's
talk.
awesome.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Awesome.
It was scary when you were 12 years old to see your aunt go into a trance and
Yeah, I'm sure.
talk like almost in another language, but it was in Spanish. And so anyway, fast forward. For years, both her and my mom, Ida passed before my mom. But one day I woke up and I smelled that cigar in the
Oh,
apartment.
shit. Okay.
And I thought, oh, Titi Ida was here. And again, she's always the person on my shoulder. And I'll tell you a good story about Ida. I go to Cuba and I'm in Havana and I see a woman who was like a Santeria priestess. And she asked me if I wanted a blessing. She said it in her broken English and in my broken Spanglish. I said back to her, yes, I want, a blessing. And she looked at me and started laughing. And she said, well, two things. You take a lot of medicine that's disruptive to your stomach. And I said, yes. She said, oh, that'll change. She said, who is the woman? It's not your mother that you're very close to. And she loves you. And she said it like that. And whenever I closed my conversations with my Aunt Ida, she would say, Michael, your Titi Ida loves you. And I thought, oh boy. And so now I'm crying. And the woman is like, hitting me with gladiolas that she put in alcoholado, which is the Spanish alcohol, and she's like giving me the blessings with the gladiola on my head and my stomach, my shoulders, my feet, everywhere. And then I'm on my way. So I leave where I am at and I look up, and my Aunt Ida's married name was Cologne. And there is the Cologne Cemetery. And I thought, oh my God, she's gonna follow me through this whole trip. And this was all good. And she followed me for the whole trip. I come back and I'm going to see a Slayer. And so I'm backstage, and there's a gorgeous, voluptuous gal back there. And she says, are you Michael Alago? And I said, I am. And she's some Jessica. And it's Jessica Pimentel, who at that time was in Orange Is the New Black. So she says, I'm a little drunk. And I said, oh, are you saying that because you'd like me to get fine? I'll gladly find you a seat. She says, well, no, I'm a medium. And I thought, I can't make this into a joke because she's serious. And she said to me, who's the woman that's on your shoulder all the time? And I was like, oh my God. And she said, there's a lot of women in your mother's side of the family and more men, women than men. I said, well, my Uncle Mike. She said, nah. My Aunt Ida, my Aunt Lucy, my Titi Ursula. My Aunt Mary, she says, those women are powerful women. But the one that lives on your shoulder will be with you forever. You should never have any worries. So all of that in regards to my Titi Ida happens all the time with people. It's wild. And it doesn't lessen the love or any of that stuff for my mom. But Ida was such a powerful presence that she shows up every once in a while.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really something.
It is.
Yep.
And you see,
but, you know, you have to be a believer and you have to have faith. And right. When you have all that stuff, it's like, wow, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Some people fear that, but right. I welcome it, you know? Yeah.
And you have all your facets about you because you're also sober and clean. So you could actually realize and
you
are, understand.
And, you know, like, you know, I talk to my mother all the time. And, anyway,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I talk to my mother all the time, but not out loud. But I talk to her.
When I'm home, I'll pass the picture in the living room and say, hi, Ma. Good morning. I love you.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. I'll go to the cemetery and visit my mom. Like,
sure.
Like last Sunday, I think it was last Sunday or last Saturday, whatever. I stopped by there because I had somewhere else to go. And I just so happened to be there. And I stopped by and I stood there and I spoke out loud to her for about a good 10 minutes. I had a little one-way conversation and just, you know, whatever. And it's. I don't know.
I don't know. I find things like that comforting.
Of course. Of course.
Well, not everybody can say, of course.
Right.
Because, you know.
Well, I say that for me. Of course.
You know, great. And I'll say the same thing. Of course. Yeah. Because we had good moms. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, I've had friends who can't say that about
their
mom or their families.
Same here.
Listen, when I hear stuff like that, for me, I just... pray for those people because prayer is a big part of my life, you know? So anyway.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, man. So where do you want to go now? Where you want to go?
You mean on an adventure?
Sure. How about that?
Yeah, like you mentioned earlier, we are going to go to Stroudsburg, PA to see Voivod and Prong.
Voivod and Prong, yes.
Oh, yes. We didn't say that earlier, did we?
We didn't say Prong. I don't know why. You know why? Because you're wearing the Voivod shirt, so it's, you
Voivod.
Know.
Love Voivod.
Yes.
They made one of the greatest metal records ever, Killing Technology.
Yeah.
These days, every time I've seen them, they open up the show with that song, and it just sends everybody into, like, mayhem.
Well, how about this? You ready for this?
Yes.
Never seen Voivod live.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, I'm glad you're having some of your first experiences with me.
Yes, I am. And that's hilarious. And Prong, I saw a long time, like Prove You Wrong tour.
Really? Wow. But yeah.
Like 93, 94.
Like, if you live in the tri-state area and, you know, you love hard rock and heavy metal and new metal or whatever, we've all seen Prong and they're fantastic.
They are.
They are. Yeah. Yeah.
Tommy Victor was a guest on the podcast as well, who was awesome. And I also had their
lovely
drummer, Ted Parsons, on.
Ted Parsons.
He lives in like Norway. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning the next day. I was doing it with him. It was awesome.
I think he played drums for Swans.
Swans,
for
yes.
A bit of time.
The loudest, Killing Joke, a lot.
The loudest band in the whole world.
Swans, Killing Joke. He also played for Godflesh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Great drummer. Yep. Very, I guess you can call a drummer prolific.
Yes.
When they're that awesome.
Yeah. So we're gonna go to Stroudsburg, but we can make a day because the show is not until later on.
Of course we're gonna leave New York in the day. We're gonna have lunch. We're gonna go to the record shop. I think there's a really good bookstore there. And you know what? We'll Google things to do in Stroudsburg.
100%. What day of the week is that? Because if it's a Sunday, Main Street Jukebox is closed.
Are you sure?
If it's a Sunday, it is.
Oh my God.
Because there was another time I was in Stroudsburg going somewhere, and I know the owner. His name is Tom Lefevre.
Yes, we love him.
He's one of my Delta Bravo friends that does the location stuff, too.
Oh, he does?
Yes.
Oh,
that's
okay.
How I met him.
So, wait, what are we talking about? Oh, Voivod and Prong.
What day of the week is that? Because if it's a Sunday, we're screwed.
I'm going to tell you right now. Okay, here we go.
It's the last day of the tour.
Hush.
All right. Stop telling me what to do. You yell at me a lot. Oh, no.
I'm looking at 2022.
Yeah, settle down. Yeah.
Okay, settle down. Okay. Okay, here we go. Wow. Let me put in tour 2024.
Yeah, I hope I'm wrong, but I think it's actually a Sunday. Because I think I mentioned to you that I'll take the next day off of work, so I don't have to worry about getting back in time.
It's, yes, indeed. Prong and Voivod at the Sherman Theater in Stroudsburg, PA, Sunday, March 24th. Be there or be square.
But we'll be there.
We're going to be there. And then what's that little, I guess you could say, community right next door to Stroudsburg? It almost has like a carefree hippie vibe.
I don't know.
Yes, because we did talk about it.
I'm sure we did. We talk about a lot of stuff. You know what's a really cool spot that I can bring you to that I've been, but I think you would appreciate it? Here's some deep dive music stuff. Harry Chapin, okay? Okay.
Who was on Elektra Records? Continue.
I grew up with Harry Chapin in the background all the time.
Yeah.
I'll never forget my father telling me the story. He told me he was about to play the song 30,000 Pounds of Bananas. Okay? The song.
Okay.
Okay? I thought it was funny because I'm a little kid. It's a silly name for a song named 30,000 Pounds of Bananas. But that song is based on a true story about a truck, a big tractor trailer that loses control, loses its brakes, and flies down and crashes, and the driver gets killed, and there's 30,000 pounds of bananas on it, and it's based on a true story. Well, wow. I went down this deep dive rabbit hole, and I found actual photographs of that wreck that inspired the song, and I could bring it to the exact corner and exactly where it happened, and the house is still the same, which is the accident spot that inspired 30,000 pounds of bananas by Harry Chapin. We'll go there. We'll just pass by. Like, yeah, check it out. You'll be like, oh, fabulous. Let's go somewhere else now.
Yes, I don't want us to be Debbie Downer at the tail end of our hour-long conversation.
No, but you know what? That's a little music history, a little yes, tidbit that a lot of people don't know.
Yep. Well, wait, I'm trying to think. What's right next to Stroudsburg?
East Stroudsburg.
Okay, what's in East Stroudsburg? What's the community? Oh, this is going to really piss me off.
Wisdom in Chains, the hardcore band, is from East Stroudsburg, and they're a great hardcore band. Wisdom in Chains?
Oh, yeah, okay, good.
Great band.
Because when I went to this little community, there was a great jazz club there that'd been there for years and years. I went to some shop that sold, you know, soaps and postcards and stuff like that. Oh, man.
I don't know Pennsylvania that
you
well.
You don't? Okay. So
is it in the Lehigh Valley area? Lancaster?
No, not that far from East Stroudsburg, no.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how far
Okay, that is. So for all of you out there listening, if you're still listening.
You're still listening.
Wherever that place was.
Right.
Once this airs, I know I'll remember it by then because I'm going to be researching it because it's going to drive
people me. People are screaming at us right now.
Right. But I'll just type it in so it feels the East Stroudsburg experience feels complete.
There you go.
Oh, now I'm out of breath.
Yeah.
Well, is this a good time to say goodnight?
Sure, why not? And you're more than welcome to come on anytime you want. When you seal that book deal, which I know you are, you come back on whenever you want. You have an open door policy. You can come on, we'll bullshit whenever you want, man.
Wait. Now, what was that little store called? The Sunshine?
Where? In the place that you don't remember?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wait. People, hold on to yourself just 1 minute.
This is guerrilla podcasting. Let them wait. It's fine.
Right. Go to the bathroom.
Go to the bathroom. Right.
Yeah, get something. Wait, no, I have to tell. Because this little store was super duper fabulous. Oh. What's next to East Stroudsburg?
You're gonna
I,
pull up
you know what? I'm not smiling about any of this at all.
I am.
Oh, okay. You know what? I don't want this to turn into a
A Google search episode.
right. So because I'm free. Oh. Who used to
Yeah.
say that? What's his name from Arnold? Was his name Arnold on
Different strokes.
No. Oh, Mr. Cotter, Mr. Cotter, Mr. Cotter. Okay, so. I'm talking about, oh, thank God, people, so you don't think I'm really an airhead. I'm talking about the Delaware Water Gap.
Oh, okay.
Don't you say anything because you didn't know anything to begin with. And the little shop is called Asparagus Sunshine. And if that doesn't have like this groovy vibe to it, I don't know what does. But
Me
it's, it has
neither.
antiques and vintage wares and cards and soaps and stuff like that. But that whole little area is really kind of cool. The Delaware Water Gap. Oh my God. And we might have to just end on that Delaware Water Gap experience. Peace.
You just,
Oh
I
wait, is it snowing? Did you?
don't know what just happened. You just did an effect or some shit just
Wait,
happened.
I think it just snowed. But I was
Something.
like, wait, I don't know what I did. In any
I don't know, but that was weird and it was awesome
I
though.
know I
Because
thought
I'm
you were like,
crying from fucking asparagus fucking sunshine.
well, maybe those were your tears on the screen.
Something.
Good tears.
Oh my
But
God, that's
yes,
fucking
there
hilarious.
certainly should be a part two of this.
Absolutely.
It's just the beginning of the year, even though January, you know,
Nova.
has flown by. But you know, there's lots of good shows coming up in New York. I know Rob Flynn's coming to town, Machine Head. They're playing at the Palladium. I think could be February 10th. And then, of course, Pantera are going to be at Madison Square Garden, which I
Really?
believe is February 22nd. But don't quote me because I don't want you to miss the date. I'm trying to think. There was
That's
something
gotta be
else that.
sold out already, no?
Oh, I hope so. Yeah. I hope so.
I want to get tickets.
And then we're going to go see, you know, Voivod and Prong. Oh, and then Rob Dukes is coming at Dingbats with this band, One Night Only, with a band called Shovel-Headed Kill Machine. And he's doing only Exodus songs when he was in Exodus.
Well, that's the name of one of the records that he did with Exodus, which is called
Oh.
Shovel-Headed Kill Machine.
Oh, well, that's what the evening is called.
Awesome.
Rob Dukes Presents. And that is at Dingbats, February 24th.
In
So for
Clifton, New
everybody.
Jersey.
Yes, that's right, at Dingbats. And so there's so many things coming up, which is so great. And it's
Yes.
just the beginning of the year. So you know what? We all got to be kind to one another. We got to rock and roll. We got to go to all the shows. We got to show support for the independent artists that are out there. And like I always tell people, if you see me on the street, please say hello.
Absolutely.
Oh,
Awesome.
wait. Oh, wait, what is that? You're doing that.
I'm doing nothing.
Oh, wait a minute. But how did the fireworks just went off?
I don't know. Your computer's doing some shit. I don't know what. I like it though. I think I'm a little jealous. I
Wait,
want
wait a minute.
my
Maybe
stuff.
you just gave me that acid you used to take.
I should, yeah, osmosis.
Wait, that was so great. So fun. Okay. Good night, everybody. Good night, Jimmy. I'll talk to you later.
Love you,
I
brother.
love you too.
Later, man. Good night.